Welcome back to the Michael Lofton Show. Wow, today is a sad day. You know, as Pope Francis just gave a homily opening the Synod of Bishops, attempting to calm the storm and calm people's fears about the Synod on synodality. As that is taking place, and we'll take a look at the homily in just a moment. Meanwhile, others are fanning the flames, unfortunately. I want to share my screen and show you something that is taking place right before our very eyes, this very moment. Here we can see EWTN, which is covering the Synod, pins a comment calling Pope Francis's pontificate a pontificate of hell. And we see the USCCB also promoting an article, Cindy Wooden at the USCCB, promoting an article from a conference that Cardinal Burke is at called the Synod Babble, where Cardinal Burke is saying things that are factually not true. I'm going to cover this specifically in a video in about an hour, but I want to give you a heads up because he's explicitly saying that the Synod is attempting to change the Constitution of the Church. Now, Pope Francis has already told Cardinal Burke in his dubia explicitly that is not true, and he's already corrected Cardinal Burke on this. And yet Cardinal Burke is still presenting this misinformation, and now it's being promoted at the USCCB. So while Pope Francis is attempting to calm the storms and the anxieties and fears of people, we see, on the other hand, others who are fanning the flames. And unfortunately, people are leaving the church because of stuff like this. Whereas our shepherd, Pope Francis, is trying to help people and to reassure them, others are instead bearing false witness and stirring the pot. Take a look at this comment here where Taylor Marshall also just recently was promoting fake news about the Catholic Church. And there's this tragic comment by a person here. We need to pray for them. They say, I will be leaving the church. Not sure where I will go. Maybe Eastern Orthodoxy. And as you know, the Eastern Orthodox have been celebrating this online and been saying that Pope Francis has approved gay blessings or blessings for gay unions. And I did a show yesterday refuting that, but that is still the narrative in Catholic circles and elsewhere. And many non-Christians are promoting these lies. So unfortunately, while our Holy Father is trying to calm people's fears, others are fanning the flames and causing people to leave the church, scandalizing souls. And that is truly tragic. This is really impacting people. So let's listen to Pope Francis as he reassures us. He gives us some calming words about the Synod on synodality. This is again his opening homily, opening the Synod. And it begins here. Well, there's an article that describes it. Let me just read to you the article, and it will give you some really good snippets from it. Pope Francis opened the Synod on synodality the three-week assembly on Wednesday with a call to remember that the church exists to bring Jesus to the world and should face today's challenges with a gaze fixed on God, rather than political calculations or ideological battles. And both sides need to hear that, because both sides are pushing for ideologies, unfortunately, that sometimes miss the full message of Jesus Christ. And the Pope says, no, we need to keep our eyes on Jesus and bringing Jesus to the world and the full message of Jesus, not political calculations and not ideological battles. We need to bring them Jesus Christ. Speaking in St. Peter's Square for the Synod's opening Mass on October 4th, Pope Francis underlined that the primary task of the Synod is to refocus our gaze on God, to be a church that looks mercifully at humanity. We do not want to make ourselves attractive in the eyes of the world, but to reach out to it with the consolation of the gospel, to bear witness to God's infinite love in a better way. And everyone, he said. The Pope presided over Mass on the feast of St. Francis of Assisi, concelebrated by nearly 500 priests, bishops, cardinals, including 20 of the Catholic Church's newest cardinals. Recalling the Lord's words to St. Francis, "Go rebuild my church," Pope Francis said that the Synod serves as a reminder that our Mother, the Church, is always in need of purification, of being repaired, for we are a people made up of forgiven sinners. We need not forget that. We are sinners, but we have forgiveness in Christ Jesus. Always in need of returning to the source that is Jesus and putting ourselves back on the paths of the Spirit to reach everyone with his gospel. Pope Francis highlighted a question raised by Pope Benedict XVI at the 2012 Synod of Bishops as the fundamental question facing the Synod. The question for us is this: God has spoken. He has truly broken the great silence. He has shown himself. But how can we communicate this reality to the people of today so that it becomes salvation? In other words, Pope Francis, he talks about how revelation is immutable, it's unchanging, and God in revelation reveals who he is. It's very thorough, very traditional. But now the question is, we have to figure out a way to take that revelation and communicate it to the world. And that is what every generation has to do in proclaiming the gospel to people. What is the most effective way that we can communicate God's word with the world? And that's the task of the church. Pope Francis repeated that the Synod is not a political gathering or a polarized parliament, but a place of grace and communion. Dear brothers, cardinals, brother bishops, sisters, and brothers, we are at the opening of the General Assembly of the Synod. Here we do not need a purely natural vision made up of human strategies, political calculations, or ideological battles. We are not here to carry out a parliamentary meeting or a plan of reformation. No, we are here to walk together with the gaze of Jesus, who blesses the Father and welcomes those who are weary and oppressed, he said. The 9 a.m. Mass began under bright sunshine and a soft breeze with a procession through St. Peter's Squares of the delegates in the 16th Ordinary Synod of Bishops, which for the first time includes laymen and women as full voting members. The Synod delegates will meet in the Vatican Paul VI Hall to advise the Pope on the theme for a synodal church, communion, participation, and mission. The three-week assembly is the first of the two-part synod on synodality that will conclude in 2024. The Vatican Choir led the crowd in the solemn Laudis Regiae hymn, singing "Christ Conquers, Christ Reigns, Christ Commands" in Latin with the Litany of the Saints. Let's listen to it, because they actually have a brief clip of it where we can hear it together. Let me enable audio so that we can listen. There you go. Very beautiful chant, but evidently this is a pontificate of hell, according to someone at EWTN who pens this comment telling us that Pope Francis's pontificate is a pontificate of hell. Not sure what's going on there. Maybe EWTN management needs to look into that. And also maybe whoever is over the management here with the website at USCCB needs to ask some questions here, because let me go ahead and cover what Cardinal Burke is saying here rather than in a separate stream, because I want to compare what we just saw from our shepherd, Pope Francis, that calm, reassuring voice that we just heard from Pope Francis. And I want to compare it to what we're hearing from Cardinal Burke simultaneously, and also address some of the misinformation that he has already been corrected on by our Holy Father, Pope Francis, and yet he still continues to promote this misinformation. I don't know why. I leave that between him and God, but Pope Francis has corrected him on this. Let's read through it together. So here's a picture of Cardinal Burke arriving at the stage to participate at a conference, the Synodal Babel in Rome on October 3rd. So he's part of a conference called the Synodal Babel, B-A-B-E-L, right? Tower of Babel, okay? U.S. Cardinal Burke said when he and four other cardinals formally asked Pope Francis to respond to questions related to the Synod on Synodality, they were seeking reassurances about the perennial truths taught by the Church and not attacking the person of Pope Francis. Well, they received that because Pope Francis did affirm the perennial truths and explicitly affirmed that divine revelation is immutable and the faith cannot change. So I already did a whole video going through the dubia in detail. I'll put it in the show notes. You're welcome to watch it. But he gave them the reassurance that they needed. Unfortunately, people in the press, especially in Catholic media, are promoting lies, saying that Pope Francis has given the green light to promoting or to blessing same-sex unions. I did a show last night demonstrating that that is not the actual position that Pope Francis puts forward in question to paragraph E, for instance, of his response to the July dubia. So maybe go and watch that video where you'll see where this is fake Catholic news being promoted and that is leading people outside of the Church and possibly on the path to hell. It's leading people outside of the Church, which puts them, objectively speaking, on a path to hell. So this is serious stuff. Well, it continues, the five dubia deal exclusively with the perennial doctrine and discipline of the Church, not the agenda of the Pope, and certainly not the agenda of the five of us cardinals, Burke said at the October 3rd conference in Rome about perceived problems with the Synod, which was to begin next morning. They have nothing to do with the person of the Holy Father, and in fact, by their nature, they are an expression of the veneration owed to the Petrine office and the successor of St. Peter, the cardinal said. To which I would ask, okay, if that's true, well, Your Eminence, do you accept the papal magisterium of Pope Francis? He has already told us he doesn't believe that Amoris Laetitia is magisterial when it is, so we know he doesn't assent to that. He received this response from the dubia, and yet he still persists with something contrary to what the dubia says. So I do have to ask the question, if this is the case, he is venerating the Petrine office, then I have to ask, with all due respect, Your Eminence, do you assent to the teachings and decisions of this pontificate? This pontificate that right now is in succession to St. Peter, because what I'm seeing from Cardinal Burke is in conflict with what the successor of St. Peter is saying on a number of issues. So if he's going to appeal to his veneration for the Petrine office, I then have to ask, does that then apply to assenting to the Pope's magisterium? And if not, will he please tell that to people that he rejects something that Pope Francis teaches? Or if he assents to it, will he please tell that to people so that they too can assent to those things and be assured that the cardinal assents to those teachings and decisions and that others will follow suit? I would like some clarification from Cardinal Burke there. Cardinal Burke, a former Vatican official now with a portfolio, spoke at a conference the day after he made public the questions called dubia, and the Vatican published a lengthy reply that Pope Francis had written to the cardinals in July when they first posed the question. In writing the questions, the Pope, Cardinal Burke, was joined by Bram Mueller, Sarah, and Cardinal Zinn. The questions regarded the interpretation of Scripture, the possibility of blessing same-sex unions, the Pope's assertion that synodality is a constitutive dimension of the Church. See, right there, Pope Francis has addressed this question, but you're going to see it resurface in just a moment. The ordination of women and whether repentance is necessary for a person to receive absolution. In a theater near the Vatican, Cardinal Burke was joined by U.S. Father Gerald Murray, a canon lawyer and frequent commenter on EWTN. By the way, Father Murray has assigned a document publicly saying that the papacy teaches heresy. Yes, I pointed this out. He is one of the signatories. He has not revoked it. He, as well as Bishop Strickland and Bishop Athanasius Schneider and others, have publicly signed a document saying Pope Francis, in his magisterium, teaches heresy in Desiderio Desideravi. Now, Pope Francis, in his dubia reply, actually puts that notion to rest, because what they accused him of, he completely repudiates in his response to Cardinal Burke. So my question to Father Murray is, will Father Murray come out and apologize for falsely accusing the papacy of heresy? And will Bishop Strickland and Bishop Schneider do the same? Because Pope Francis has corrected them. and they are now shown to have been in error, will they come out and retract their signatures? But it continues, U.S. Father Gerald Murray, a canon lawyer and frequent commenter on EWTN and by an Italian philosophy professor at the conference titled Synodal Babel. The editor of the Italian Catholic news site that sponsored the conference said that the title was chosen because Babel, like the Synod in his opinion, describes the situation of confusion. Well, with all due respect, whatever confusion that we've seen from this pontificate has been completely magnified by many people in this category. Many people in this group have created an artificial confusion. Case in point, the dubia that Pope Francis gives to Cardinal Burke completely does not say yes to same-sex blessings. And yet, we're seeing headlines, Pope says yes to same-sex blessings. So tell me that's not an artificial confusion. Whatever confusion might be there from Pope Francis and others, it's magnified 1,000 times more by people in Catholic media. So much of the confusion is artificial. It's contrived. It's made up. It's created. The conference took place at the 364 full members of the Synod, or as the 364 full members of the Synod, namely cardinals and bishops, were ending a 3-day spiritual retreat outside Rome. When Cardinal Burke mentioned the dubia in his speech, he was greeted with applause by an audience of about 200 people, including laity and priests. Cardinal Seurat was seated in the front row. Now, let's see what Cardinal Burke says, and then we're going to compare it to what Pope Francis actually said to Cardinal Burke. The cardinal said the purpose of the Synod on Synodality was to profoundly modify the hierarchical constitution of the church and to weaken its teaching on moral issues. So literally, as of yesterday, today's October 4th, October 3rd is when Cardinal Burke said this. Now, Pope Francis has already corrected him on this. When did Pope Francis correct him on this? July. So months later, Cardinal Burke is saying something about the Synod that Pope Francis has completely repudiated and corrected him on. So I have to ask the question, Your Eminence, do you accept the authority of this pontificate? If so, do you accept the authority of what Pope Francis has told you about the constitution of the church and the hierarchy of the church? And then if the answer to that is yes, then why are you saying this? Because it contradicts what Pope Francis told you personally in your July response to your July dubia. I know I went over it before, but let's go over it again. Let's take a look at it together. Let's go to Cardinal Burke's website and let's look at the dubia response that he eventually posted, although initially, as I've demonstrated, and according to the cardinals, they were not going to post for us. They were going to unfortunately leave us in the dark, and we only know about it because the Vatican actually came out and posted it, and now they add it to the website. Okay, well, that's a whole nother issue. Let's go to the response of Pope Francis to the dubia from his website. So we're going to read his English version. So this is what Pope Francis told the Cardinal Burke. And we're going to go to it here. Let me find it. Let's see. I think it's question 3 here. Here we go. A, question 3. Pope Francis tells Cardinal Burke, as you well recognize that the supreme and full authority of the church is exercised either by the Pope in virtue of his office or by the College of Bishops together with its head, the Roman Pontiff, the Second Vatican Council. So he right there affirms the traditional teaching that the constitution of the church is through the magisterium, and it's a twofold. It is the papacy and the College of Bishops. Right there, he completely repudiates this misinformation that somehow the Synod is changing the constitution of the church, because Burke explicitly asks him about that. Are you saying that the Synod is now part of the constitution of the church and its governance? Pope Francis responds and says, no, As you well recognize, the supreme and full authority of the church is exercised either by the Pope or the College of Bishops, not the Synod on Synodality or any other Synod of Bishops. So he completely repudiates that view. And we're going to read the rest of it here again in a moment. But that just shows you right there what he just told everyone, and what someone at the USCCB chose to publish here is something contrary to what the Holy Father himself has told Cardinal Burke and told now the world, since everyone has read the Dubia. He says, the Cardinal said the purpose of the Synod on Synodality was to profoundly modify the hierarchical constitution of the church and to weaken its teaching on moral issues. Wow. And yet Pope Francis tells him otherwise. So my question is, Your Eminence, do you accept what the Holy Father has told you? If not, please tell us why. And if so, then why did you just say this yesterday? It continues, though. Nevertheless, with these dubia, you yourselves, you cardinals, including Cardinal Burke, manifest your need to participate, to give freely your opinion and to collaborate, and thus claim some form of synodality in the exercise of my ministry. So he's saying, look, Cardinal Burke and others, you're knocking the Synod on Synodality, but you, by even submitting this dubia to me, are proving the need for synodality, because you want to collaborate with me. You want to ask my opinion. You want to offer your thoughts. Well, that's exactly what the Synod of Bishops is. It's an opportunity for bishops, priests, lay faithful, and monks, people from all walks of life, to express their opinions. That's exactly what the cardinal is doing. Is the cardinal trying to change the constitution of the church? No, of course not. And neither is Pope Francis. The church is a mystery of missionary communion, but this communion is not only effective or ethereal, but necessarily implies real participation, that not only the hierarchy, but all the people of God in different ways and at different levels can make their voices heard and feel part of the church's journey. In this sense, we can indeed say that synodality is a style, and dynamism is an essential dimension of the life of the church. Absolutely. That doesn't mean that the way the church is governed and constituted changes. No. But it's an opportunity for people to express their voice. It is quite another thing to sacralize and impose a particular synodal methodology that one group likes and to make it the norm and the obligatory channel for all, because this would only lead to freezing the synodal path, ignoring the different characteristics of the various particular churches and varied riches of the universal church. And certainly there's some other things that would also, again, correct what we've seen here from Cardinal Burke. And so I encourage you to watch it, watch the video that I did reviewing this whole thing. But Pope Francis, again, has already corrected Cardinal Burke on this. I don't know why he has come out and said this. It really leaves me scratching my head. But the situation actually gets worse. Cardinal Burke continues, our Lord Jesus Christ, who is our only Savior, is not at the root and center of synodality, he told the conference. Wow. So completely opposing the direction that the Holy Father is taking the church, completely opposing it and saying that Jesus is not behind this synod. Wow. Wow. And he's in a position to judge and determine that over and against the successor of St. Peter. He continues, this is why it overlooks and truthfully forgets the divine nature of the church. Pope Francis and the synod is forgetting the divine nature of the church. We just saw Pope Francis affirm the divine nature of the church. What? What? Much of Cardinal Burke's talk focused on similarities he found in Pope Francis's reform of the Roman Curia and the Pope's vision of a synodal church, both of which he said seek to profoundly modify the hierarchical constitution of the church. But Pope Francis already corrected him on that. This is not true. What Cardinal Burke is saying is not true, and he has been corrected by the successor of St. Peter. And for some reason, he has not stood corrected. Instead, he's now disseminating all kinds of fear and false information. People are going to really panic and think, oh, wow, Pope Francis is trying to change the constitution and the essential constitution of the church. Notice and compare the message of Cardinal Burke with what Francis was giving us. Pope Francis was being reassuring to us. He was calming the storm. He was being a good pastor and shepherding souls and putting us at ease while others are fanning the flames with false accusations that have already been corrected by the successor of St. Peter. A weakening of the church's identity as one holy Catholic and apostolic in favor of a synodal church, he said, has a further consequence of consequence, a weakening of its teaching and moral matters, as well as in its church discipline. So Pope Francis, according to Cardinal Burke, is trying to change the constitution of the church and is weakening its moral matters and church discipline. He is saying this about the successor of St. Peter, which he says he venerates. Bishops and cardinals today need much courage to confront the grave errors that are coming from within the church itself. And make no mistake about it, he's saying from Pope Francis himself, because Pope Francis is the one calling for the synod on synodality. And he has put the question to Pope Francis personally, are you trying to change the constitution of the church? Pope Francis tells him no. As you know, the constitution of the church, that is its governing constitution, its magisterial constitution, is exercised either by the Pope or the College of Bishops. And that isn't changing. But that doesn't take away for a need on synodality, because you yourself, Cardinal Burke, he tells them, are wanting to participate in synodality by asking me your questions. So Cardinal Burke testifies to the need for synodality in even sending him the dubia, and then goes and calls it a grave error, not actually seeing that what he calls a grave error is actually what Cardinal Burke is himself doing and participating in. And so he's attributing a grave error to the successor of St. Peter. Cardinal Burke said, the sheep depend on the courage of the shepherds who must protect them from the poison of confusion, error, and danger. So Cardinal Burke is saying that we need other shepherds to protect us from the poison of Pope Francis. Now, compare this to Pastor Eternus, chapter 4, paragraph 6 and 7. This speaks of the Pope as the one who protects us from error and from schism and from division. Is what he's saying about the Holy Father here consistent with Pastor Eternus from Vatican I? I would submit to you that you go and read it and ask yourself that question. Or maybe go and watch my video on Vatican I ecclesiology where I go over this. But he's saying we have to be protected from the poison and confusion and error and division that Pope Francis is causing. Well, if that's true, according to Pastor Eternus, the Catholic Church has falsified itself. I don't know why we need to be Catholic at this point. If what Cardinal Burke is saying is true, why are we Catholic? According to Pastor Eternus, the Catholic Church has falsified itself. The first half of Father Murray's presentation focused on Pope Francis's decision that some non-bishops, priests, and religious laymen and women would participate in the Synod Assembly as full members, including with the right to vote. Right. There's nothing wrong with that, because it is not actually a council. It is a consultative body. What Father Murray misses, and I've already corrected him on this, is we've actually had ecumenical councils where laymen voted. So not just a synod on synodality, not just a synod of bishops. We've had an ecumenical council where laymen have voted. It's called the Council of Constance. We not only have that, but we have what's called the Fifth Ecumenical Council, Constantinople II in 553, where a layman directed the entire thing and determined its outcome from start to finish. And if the bishops didn't agree, he forced them to agree. And if they don't like it, he could just depose that bishop and put in a new bishop who would agree with his agenda. And so the Fifth Ecumenical Council was orchestrated and determined in advance by a layman. Now, does that change the constitution of the church? No. And I've gone into detail on how it does it. But if you're going to fault the Synod of Bishops, which isn't even a magisterial organ per canon law, code 343, and Pope Francis has confirmed that. If it's not even a magisterial organ, but it's not okay to have lay participation there, then what do you do when you have an entire ecumenical council that had lay participation voting? What do you do with that? It's inconsistent. This is a really bad argument, and it's fear-mongering. It's trying to get us all stirred up thinking that the church, you know, the Pope is trying to change the constitution of the church. Nonsense. And he's already corrected that And it was a bad argument to begin with and a short-sighted argument, yet it's still being promoted. And now we find it on the page of USCCB. I would have hoped what we would have found promoted on USCCB was articles by U.S. bishops reassuring us, being a reassuring voice, guiding the faithful, saying, hey, calm down. It's okay. The church isn't going to change its hierarchy. The Pope isn't out to destroy the church. I would have hoped that we would have had some articles reassuring us. Instead, we find an article on the USCCB promoted by someone here saying this stuff and stirring people up and content that is bearing false witness. The change, Father Murray said, ignores the essential distinction between ordained and non-ordained in the church. No, it doesn't, because this is not a magisterial organ. And again, you have a problem with two ecumenical councils when you propose this bad argument. Christ's establishment of a hierarchical church means that certain roles pertain to the shepherds and do not pertain to the sheep. Yeah, Pope Francis actually said that right here in question four. Pope Francis actually said that to Cardinal Burke in his response in July. He completely makes that distinction. Of course he does. He's already said that. So this is a bad argument. When non-bishop members with voting rights are introduced into an assembly of bishops with voting rights, the assembly ceases to be episcopal in nature. To which I would say, I don't think it should be called a synod of bishops when you have laymen there. I think it just should be called an advisory body, because that's all it is per canon law. So on the one hand, I want to be sympathetic and say, yeah, it doesn't make sense to call it a synod of bishops, because it's neither a synod nor is it of entirely bishops. Let's call it something else. But on the other hand, it's not a magisterial organ, and it doesn't pertain to the actual constitution of the church, because the Synod of Bishops is something created by Paul VI. It has nothing to do with something created 2,000 years ago. The Synod of Bishops literally only goes back to Paul VI. This does not pertain to the constitution of the church. So to mix bishops with laymen in this non-magisterial body, there's nothing wrong with that. It's something that does not go back to Jesus. It goes back to Paul VI in the 60s. He said, and thus has no standing in the church's canon law. So he wants to say that there are problems with this canonically, even though the promulgator of canon law says otherwise. The promulgator of canon law would be the Pope, but for some reason he says otherwise. The second half of his speech focuses on the synod's assembly working document and what he describes as its hope for soft revolution in the church. As he drafted, he said the document aims to jettison church teaching that exclude people who embrace decadent Western sexual mores and radical feminist claims about the equality of women, even though that's all been repudiated by Pope Francis. And you can even see that being repudiated in Amoris Laetitia by Pope Francis. The church of me, myself, and I, where each person recognizes himself in his personally curated set of beliefs, kind of like what Father Murray is doing here in setting himself in opposition to the magisterium. That's ironic, because this is exactly what he's doing. In the religion of self-worship, in which God is relegated to the role of the divine affirmer of whatever each one decides to believe, kind of like what Father Murray is doing, where he thinks that what he is doing is backed by God when it's not. He's setting himself in opposition to the magisterium. And I'll tell you this, in church history, as I've mentioned before, every single time you set yourself in opposition to the magisterium in church history, you're on the loser side. You're on the schismatic side. You're on the side that's always condemned. You're on the side that's always schismatic, and then it becomes heretical as well. You're always on the side that is at war with the successor of St. Peter, because the magisterium is gathered around the successor of St. Peter. That is how we identify it. You can't have a magisterium without the successor of St. Peter, because even the College of Bishops is not a College of Bishops without its communion with Peter and without its approbation of Peter. You set yourself in opposition to the magisterium, you're on the losing side of history. And I'll tell you this, everyone who is doing that right now, maybe 100 years from now, they're going to look back on it and they're going to judge everyone who opposed this pontificate and its magisterium. I'm not saying you can't disagree with some things Pope Francis says. you know, outside of his magisterium. I'm not saying that you have to agree with every prudential decision he makes, but when you oppose the magisterium itself, what he is teaching and how he is taking the church, how he is governing the church, when you set yourself in opposition to that, you're setting yourself in opposition to the successor of St. Peter. And again, future, the future Catholics will look back on our times and they will condemn and they will judge those people who set themselves in opposition to the Holy See, just like we do in every previous generation. We look back in church history and we say, oh, Arius was wrong, or the Donatists were wrong, or this or that was wrong. This group of people were wrong. We look back and we say that because they were people who had opposed the magisterium. Luther was wrong, and so on. We do that to previous generations. Guess what? We and our generation, us right now, we will be judged by future Catholics, and they will judge us by the same standards, and they will say, you set yourself in opposition to the magisterium, and they'll judge us in the same way they judge Luther and others who did the same thing. You're on the wrong side of church history if you oppose this magisterium. It's as simple as that. And what we're seeing is a large group of people who are doing just that. And I don't think that they're going to be judged very well by the future generations of Catholics. Stick with the magisterium and you'll be safe. Set yourself in opposition to it. You will always do so to the destruction of your own soul. Listen to our shepherd who is giving us a reassuring and calming voice. Don't listen to the voices who are peddling fear and engaging in fear-mongering and peddling falsehoods and things that have already been corrected by the successor of St. Peter. Mark who those people are who are setting themselves in opposition to the papacy, and know that is not a person to be listening to, because that is a person who is stirring things up and creating controversy rather than following the successor of St. Peter. Well, I hope this was helpful and gives some kind of guidance, because so much mess is going on right now, so much chaos. And I imagine it's not going to let up. I imagine there's going to be more and more and more. So the sure guide is stick with the Pope, stick with the magisterium. Don't stick with voices who are peddling fear and falsehoods. If you do that, I think you'll be able to navigate through all of the difficulties that we're going to be experiencing in the next few weeks, all of the fake news that we're going to see from fake Catholic news media. All right. Again, hit that like button, hit the subscribe button. If you want more people to see this video and they need to be reached with this message, if you think it needs to reach people, help me do that by hitting the subscribe button. When you do that, that helps the algorithm reach more people. So please subscribe, please comment, please like. If you want to support what I'm doing here with Reason and Theology, patreon.com/reasonandtheology is a great place to do it. You'll get access to extra content and you'll be supporting me. Or if you would rather use other platforms like PayPal and GoFundMe, I put a link to those in the show notes. Please consider supporting me, and also pray for the success of this ministry, because right now, as you can see, there's just a whole host of people speaking falsehoods and not being a reassuring and calming voice. And I'm doing my best to try to offer some kind of guidance. And if you find that helpful, please help me reach other people with that message. All right, we'll see you later. God bless.
Hey, everybody, just wanted to tell you about my new free ebook, Church Chaos: Biblical Insights for Confused Catholics. If you are a confused Catholic and you're thinking about leaving the Catholic Church, or you're thinking about converting to the church, but you see that there's a crisis in the church and you're just unsure, this is the book for you. Again, it is free. Just simply go to reasonandtheology.com. You'll see a pop-up that comes up on your screen. Just simply click on it and you'll put in your email, and it will provide you the free PDF ebook right then and there. Please check it out if you're confused about the situation in the Catholic Church today. ReasonandTheology.com.
If you're looking to buy or sell a home, office, or any kind of property anywhere in the world, you're going to want to call Real Estate for Life, and they're going to connect you with a Catholic agent. Now, that agent will donate a portion of their commission upon sale, and Real Estate for Life will donate 75% of that gift to a pro-life organization at no cost to you. Call Real Estate for Life at 1-877-LIFE-US1 or text them 248-431-1440. If you care about the pro-life cause, call them now.
Are you confused about how Catholic teaching authority works? With encyclicals, papal bulls, councils, and many other things, it's easy to get confused on what is authoritative and what is not. Fortunately, at MaximusInstitute.com, I have prepared a course explaining the Magisterium from A to Z. Visit the website and check out the course, Understanding the Magisterium, for more information.